Very honored to be able to be here. Very honored to be able to speak on behalf of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is always a privilege to me to be able to speak the gospel, to preach it wherever I go, any place. And I just feel honored that I get to do this, you know. I grew up with humble beginnings, and to be able to do what I always looked up to and admired so much is something that still baffles my mind a little bit. In the short book of Haggai, there is a tremendous teaching. 600 years before Christ, Israel had gone into Babylonian captivity. 70 years later, God has worked it around with Cyrus, the king of Persia, and they're allowing some of them to go back and to begin to rebuild. Now, God wants them, God expects them to rebuild his temple. But if we notice in Haggai chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, God sends Haggai to talk to these people. He says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." They didn't believe it was time yet. It's not time. It's not this. It's too early. It's not the proper time yet to get down to this part. We've got a lot of things to take care of. What was it? What were they doing? Verse 4. Is it time? This is the Lord wanting to know. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Is that what time it is? Is it time to take care of number one, we call it ourselves sometimes? That's what the world does. Sometimes we do. Take care of number one. Is that who number one is in our life? Are we taking care of our own things? Israel was. And he says, "Now therefore," verse 5, "thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And notice, here are some things God says, I've been trying to get this across to you already. You have so much, you bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now Haggai talked with these people, and they humbled themselves and obeyed. In verse 12, beginning at verse 12, "Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God." You find over here in the latter part, it says that, "And the people feared the presence of the Lord." And that was a big key part in them obeying God. Today, I know that we are not building temples, as George has talked about, these big fancy buildings. That's not what we're talking about. Today, the church is the temple of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place." Now you notice here, as we make this application to the church, he says that there we are being built up. There's still some building going on. But in many places and in many ways, the Lord's house, virtually at least, lies in ruins. And the reason is, we've got a lot of things we've got to take care of. We're too busy. Many times, we are just too busy. God is an obstacle we have to work around. And we have to just kind of decide we're going to go to church so much, and that's it. We've got a little bit we're going to do. We're going to try to go and maybe hear just enough to kind of make us feel better right now for a little while, but we're really just too busy. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Sometimes Haggai's message speaks to us today. Does the Lord's house lie in ruins while we run to our own homes and we are trying to take care and build up our own things and gather more things around us? Is that what we are more engaged in? If so, then the Lord's house lies in ruin. It lies in ruin if other things keep us from doing our part to evangelize the lost. Romans 1:16, passage we, most of us, probably know by heart. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. But today I'm afraid that a lot of us are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We are ashamed if that were all we had to offer. All we have to offer. And we think nobody's going to be interested in this little thing that we have. This little church that we have. All we have to offer. Sometimes that's all. I think we need to just stop and look. All we have to offer is the truth. That's nothing to be ashamed of. And I'm going to tell you something. There are more people searching for that than you would give credit. There are more people looking for it. There are people on the internet and in person have said things to me or to others that I've heard about, have said when they heard something about the true church. Yes, there's a true church. When they heard something about the true church, said, how sad that church doesn't exist. Or, I'd love to be able to find a church like that. There are people who are still searching for it. And brethren, if we would take this seriously and take it to heart with a good dose of godly fear and a sense of unashamedly taking the gospel again, we'd find those who are searching for it, and we'd be the only ones in town offering it. If we are not evangelizing as we ought, then the Lord's house lies in ruins. If we'd get back to just simple gospel preaching, we'd get tired of it, I guess. And we don't think anybody wants to hear it. We hear people say nobody's interested. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. When people tell me that, I say, how many turned you down last week? Yeah, they do. They never offered it to anybody. Haven't offered it in a long time. In fact, I remember many years ago, we went over to another town. We're going to help them. They got a gospel meeting coming up. I had printing equipment. I printed off flyers. We went over there to canvass that town. Got over there, and the person, actually happened to be one of my relatives, said, you won't do any good. We did that last year. We handed those out all over town, and not a single person came. And I just wondered, why are you having a meeting? Why are you going to have a meeting again? Oh, well, see, we're going to bring someone in. He's going to work, but we're not going to do anything. We're not going to do anything. We don't think anybody wants it anymore. And we let people starve to death and think it doesn't exist anymore. If we neglect our part in edifying the body, notice he said, every member has a part. I don't care how humble you are, and I know if there's any time in our life that we ever get humble, it's when it comes to church work. You know, we can talk about our jobs and we're the best there ever was. Come to do something for the Lord, and you wouldn't want me out there trying to do that. I wish I could. I'd give the world if I could do that. Well, that's what it cost us. It's what it cost us to do it. We had to give up the world to be able to do it. And if you really give the world for it, you might find time and you can do something to be edifying the body. Whatever our abilities and our opportunities we have a responsibility in building up the Lord's house. Is it time to dwell in paneled homes and let the Lord's house lie in ruin? Evidently some think so. If they say, I'm going to serve the Lord as soon as I get out of my school, I finish my schooling, I'm going to really do something. Or as soon as I get on top of my job, right now I'm in this time and I've got no time. My job takes up every waking moment of my life. Or I want to, but right now we're raising our children right now, and we just don't have time. In each case, isn't the bottom line the same? The Lord's house lies in ruins, and we go to our own houses, and we're taking care of us. In Haggai's day, it was not time to put other things before the Lord's house. And it's not time to do so today. Matthew 6:33, such simple passages. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? First before what? First before everything. It's first. It's not that difficult. He says you seek first the kingdom of God. Sometimes people don't attend even Sunday morning anymore because they've got to do this and they've got to do that. And things that just take away their time. In fact, it's not uncommon in Latin America, at least maybe, to hear somebody say, well, I can't attend service Sunday morning. That's my wash day. No, it's not your wash day. It's not your anything day. It's the Lord's day. And it belongs to him. Seek first the kingdom of God. We have to put our faith in that. That's a promise. One of the promises we can stand on. We have to put the Lord first. Matthew 10:37-39. He who loves Father, some of the toughest verses I think you'll ever read from the Lord's mouth. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Maybe we need to hear the Lord say, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You know, when Pilate says this, behold your king, Jesus had been on trial. Do you know there's coming a day when he comes back? And according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we're all going to stand before him. Perhaps the Lord will say on that day, behold your judge. Something to think about. Consider our votes.